Hare Krishna. This morning, our continuing class on Uddhava Gita, and started with doing the first four verses. And the main focus of today's talk was to review just the summary of the chapter as well as the entire text. The chapter summary, of course, begins by Krishna confirming to Uddhava that yes, he's planning to leave this planet and go back to Vaikuntha. And of course, that's a really extraordinarily shocking statement and event, although Uddhava had already surmised that from the fact that Krishna was sending the Yadus off to Prabhas, and at the same time there were so many inauspicious omens being manifest in Dwarka. So he came to Krishna and he said, this is my suspicion, and now Krishna's confirming, yes, you're right, that is my plan. And then of course Krishna tells Uddhava, although Uddhava wants to return back to Godhead, but Krishna says no, you should, I want you to stay here in this world. And he specifically wants him to deliver a message to the residents of Badrik Ashram, and then aside from that, he tells him that I want you to take sannyas and travel all over the world and enlighten people. And Uddhava responds by asking Krishna to enlighten him, to teach him, so that he may pass on those teachings to people who are attached, who are conditioned. How can they attain the path of renunciation, what to speak of, the path of perfection? And that then becomes the background, of course, for Uddhava Gita. And very interesting, and something I'd mentioned before, but I'm going to mention again, because that was the thrust of the class. Very interesting thing that Krishna begins off with in his teachings. He's going to introduce the teachings of the Avadhuta to Maharaj Yadu, but that's preceded by the Lord's own statement, and his statement is that sometimes a person may act as his own guru in the matter of self-realization. Now, it's not really what you expect to hear, and it's something that's rarely spoken of. Certainly it's not there in Bhagavad Gita. I don't think anywhere else in Srimad Bhagavatam is the statement explicitly said, although no doubt it's implied. But here Krishna, rather than as in the Bhagavad Gita, says, yes, tadvidi pariprathena, go find a spiritual master. But here he's saying, actually, you are your own spiritual master. And of course that can really be taken out of context, but in the context of the Avadhuta and how he learned from his 28 spiritual masters, more or less say the different aspects of the material energy, it becomes much clearer. It doesn't mean that one should reject the idea of accepting someone else as a spiritual master, but it means that the devotee or a person is invariably one's own spiritual master. And I'll elaborate on that. There are two ways in which one is one's own spiritual master. One is, as in the case of the Avadhuta, One studies the nature of the material world, and from everything that he sees, everything that he does, he derives essential spiritual lessons which will then propel him closer to the Supreme Lord. And of course, that requires trained intelligence. And it's that training which we actually receive from Shastra and which we receive from our spiritual master. Very often, I find myself being belabored by unnecessarily detailed and extremely simple general questions by devotees. And invariably, my response to them is, I wonder, have you really heard instructions that I've given you? And are you reading Srila Prabhupada's books? Are you chanting Hare Krishna properly? Because as many devotees as there are in this world, that many different individual natures there are, so many different circumstances, which makes us different, makes our karmas different, makes our sort of path along the devotional journey different. And one needs to know how to apply the general principles that one here learns from one spiritual master and put them into practice. So this is where a devotee becomes his own guru. He becomes his own guru in the sense that he needs to understand the basic principles of devotional service, and then Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tram, by the proper execution of devotional service, he should be able to apply those principles to the individual circumstances that he finds himself in. Of course, not all the time. We always require help. But one has to take responsibility and act in the capacity of guru like that. Yes, I have to apply those things which I've learned. And it means thinking. It means that one has to be a thinker. It means that those things that we learn, we have to really begin. We have to put into practical application. How does this teaching relate to me as a person, to my psychological being, my level of spiritual advancement, my ashram, my varna, and so on. And the other way in which one acts as one's guru is that even though one may hear so many instructions from one's spiritual master, from one's other person, spiritual master, senior Vaishnava, still we see that accepting that and accepting those teachings as it is the duty of the disciple. We have our free will. Therefore, accepting instructions, putting instructions into practice, that's also our own duty. As such, in that way, we're also acting as our spiritual master. The willingness to accept instructions, how we hear those instructions. Devotees, if they're motivated according to ignorance, passion, or goodness, they'll hear instructions differently. They'll take them to mean different things, and they'll apply them in different ways. It's not that we're just robots and whatever our spiritual master says, we do. First we try to understand those things, then we know how to put them into practice. All of that means that we're using our intellectual faculty, we're surrendering, we're deciding or making a considered decision that we're going to accept some instruction and how we're going to apply that instruction. And that really means in that sense that we're also our own guru. Well, therefore, it isn't that our senior Vaishnav guru has to be transparent, we also need to be transparent to his instructions to ourselves. And if we get in the way, then we may become bereft of the valuable guidance and instructions that we receive from our spiritual master. So the living entity acts as his own guru. And knowingly or unknowingly, that's what's taking place. And therefore, if we take the responsibility of being a guru, namo chyata samupetim rityum, it's stated that one should not accept the position of guru if you can't deliver your dependent. Well, here, we're our own dependent as well, and therefore we should really be very careful that we are able to actually deliver ourselves. And by that is that we accept the perfect knowledge that we receive from Krishna, from Shastra, from Srila Prabhupada, from spiritual master, and we become a pure Vai media for that, both in terms of receptivity as well as in application. And then those instructions will deliver us. We should not in any way get in the way by some type of motivated interpretation for something to facilitate our sense enjoyment or quest for name and fame or all the different ways in which the material energy can bewilder us. And that was the thrust of this morning's class, concluded with a very sad thing. Already, it's quite a sad situation. Krishna's leaving this world. But to make things all that much worse, when Krishna leaves, then Kali Yuga, with all of its destructive qualities, will also manifest itself. And Krishna then says, and the whole world will become devoid of piety. So we should recognize that we're in a very impious place, we're in a very miserable situation, we shouldn't be make ourselves comfortable here, we shouldn't think that this is all right. We want to get out of this material world, so then let's really act as our guru, being submissive to our senior gurus, and do our best to finish our business as quick as possible, because things are only going from bad to worse. Hare Krishna.